Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, March 11, 2014. Four SPLM political detainees accused of trying to overthrow the government go on trial in Juba.
These are the charges that are related to the coup. And it is known by the constitution. Whenever you try to overthrow the government, this is an offense. And it is known as treason.
And Riek Machar denies any involvement in the latest wave of violence in Juba.
I know nothing about it, but I'm not surprised such situation shall continue in Juba with the contradictions that are happening.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The long-awaited trial of four former SPLM leaders got underway in Juba this morning. The government has charged the four with attempting to overthrow a legitimate government. Charlton Doki reports for VOA from Juba that the atmosphere, both inside and outside the courtroom, was tense.
A five-judge panel is hearing the case against former SPLM Secretary-General Pagan Amum Okiech, former Security Minister Oyai Deng Ajak, former Deputy Defense Minister Majak Dagot Atem, and former envoy of the semi-autonomous South Sudan government to the U.S., Ezekiel Lol Gatkwoth. All four were dressed in business attire and appeared calm, occasionally whispering to one another during the proceedings. Security was tight, with heavily armed soldiers and police deployed both inside and outside the courtroom. Hundreds of people who could not squeeze into the courtroom stood outside. In a small, steamy courtroom, the prosecution made their opening statement outlining the government's case against the four suspects. James Mayen is the state's lead prosecutor in the case.
These are the charges that are related to the coup. And it is known by the constitution. Whenever you try to overthrow the government, this is an offense. And it is known as treason. And they are categorized under Chapter 5 of the Penal Code of South Sudan.
Mayen says the main suspects are former Vice President Riek Machar Teny, former Unity State Governor Taban Dengai, and former Environment Minister Alfred Ladu Gore, all of whom remain in hiding. But Mayen says they will be tried whenever they are finally apprehended. Other charges against the suspects include inciting the masses, subverting a constitutional government, insurgency, and causing disaffection among the police and the army. Mayen told the court the government has enough evidence to prove the suspects attempted to overthrow Salva Kiir's government. Mayen pointed to a press release written by Machar and distributed at a news conference on December 6th, 9 days before the violence broke out. During that news conference, Riek Machar and some of the political detainees accused President Kiir of having dictatorial tendencies. They also accused Mr. Kiir of making decisions without consulting other SPLM party officials. Mayen says his other evidence is an audio recording of a conversation between the suspects on the night the violence broke out in Juba.
In this audio, Taban Dengai, who was the field commander of the forces, was reporting one of the suspects, Oyai Deng Ajak, telling him, "Our forces are under pressure at the moment. Therefore, Riek Machar has ordered them to take the guns, but the armory storekeeper escaped away with the key. Then we ordered them to break the armor."
Mayen asked if he could play the recorded audio in court, but the judges told him he could do that later in the trial. Although she was not arrested, government also accuses Rebecca Nyandeng, the widow of the late SPLM leader John Garang and former Education Minister Peter Aduok Nyaba, of being part of the alleged coup plotters. Lead prosecutor Mayen asked that the trial be held in closed session, arguing that the case posed a risk to the suspects and witnesses to be called in the case. Former Education Minister Nyaba says he does not see any reason for holding closed court sessions.
This is a case which is attracting a lot of interest, both locally and also regional and international. So you cannot do it in camera. It should be open so that the people know whether there's the facts, the government have the facts about the coup or not, because up to now they have not given the world that there's the evidence about the coup itself.
Nyaba calls the case a test of South Sudan's judicial system. While the morning session was open to journalists, security personnel barred reporters from entering the courtroom during the afternoon session. For VOA News, I am Charlton Doki in Juba.
Local officials in Jonglei State say four people were killed and four others injured in a cattle raid in the central part of the state over the weekend. They say three villages were burned to the ground. Philip Aleu has more for VOA from Juba.
Dao Akoi Jurkuch, Twitch East County Commissioner, says the raiders attacked Ngawei cattle camp on Sunday and stole an unknown number of animals. Jurkuch says some young people in the camp tried to pursue the raiders,
leaving behind two people dead and the other three people in the serious conditions. They took the large number of the cattle, and the attackers were also was a big number also.
Duke County lawmaker Piliton Lake says raiders also attacked his area on Sunday, shooting and killing two more people and wounding another person. He does not know if any cattle were taken.
They started burning all the shelters in Duke Fayuel, including the Lost Boy Clinic, which was actually upgraded by the state health authorities to a referral hospital. They have destroyed the computers, the ultrasound, and whatever they could see to be useful to the people of behind them, they destroyed either by burning it or breaking it.
Lake says the men who travel on foot carried out similar attacks on the nearby villages of Mareng and Dukpadiet. He says local authorities do not know whether the attacks were political, carried out by anti-government forces, or if the attackers simply went to steal cattle, but it is unusual for cattle raiders to destroy a hospital and crops. People who speak for the opposition did not respond to phone calls from BOA, but they have previously denied leading any attacks or raid on civilian populations in Jonglei State. Lake says attack like this will have long-term effects on the community. He says they are already facing serious food shortages, and now more crops have been destroyed, and thousands of people have been forced to flee their homes.
We have appealed to the humanitarian agencies to quickly come in and bring food, because about 65,000 people have been displaced internally in Duke. 20,000 is on the move towards war. The people within Duke County, some of whom I have gone into the swamps, the 65,000, nobody has given them support of any kind ever since they were displaced.
The United Nations estimates more than 750,000 people have been displaced since fighting started in mid-December, and at least 3.2 million people will require food assistance. For BOA News, I'm Philip Aleu in Juba.
The African Union formed a commission of inquiry last week to investigate human rights abuses committed during the political crisis in South Sudan. Riek Machar, the leader of the rebel SPLM in opposition, says he welcomes the group, headed by former South African President Olusegun Obasanjo. But he also says the government should give the African Union access to cases of reported abuse in Central Equatoria, Jonglei, Unity and Upper Nile States.
Well, he said they were floating an idea of forming a commission, a human rights commission, to investigate the violations in South Sudan. I said, well, that's fine.
Looking at how things are moving on in South Sudan of late, there was a shooting in Juba on Wednesday. How is your assessment of the situation?
Well, I know nothing about it, but I'm not surprised such situation shall continue in Juba, with the contradictions that are happening in Juba in the system being run by Salva Kiir. So it's not a surprising event to me. I expect more of it.
Is your group involved in what happened in Juba?
Well, as I said, these are the contradictions within the system being run by Salva Kiir. So expect more of it.
The delegation from South Sudan and from your group went back to consult with the principals on how to end this political crisis in South Sudan. Is there anything you will tell us about that?
My delegation has not yet returned to me. They're still in Addis. I know that they have been given recess up to the 20th of March. I hope they will come to brief me and the rest of the leadership, and we'll discuss what progress they have made and what difficulties they are facing.
There is one interesting development. In Juba, President Kiir formed a committee to look into reorganizing a meeting of the political bureau. And the head of your delegation, Taban Dengai, is said to be among those who are supposed to look into this committee that is to revive the political bureau of the SPLM. But Taban was dismissed from SPLM.
Such a meeting cannot be held when some members of the Politburo are still under detention. The Secretary General, Pagana Mum, is still under detention. If Salva Kiir wants such a meeting to take place, he should release the four detainees because they are members of the movement. And the Secretary General is the key person in the meetings of the Politburo. He's the chief administrator of the party. And therefore, we don't think we will participate in it, because if he wants, let him release Pagana Mum, then we'll evaluate the situation if it is necessary to have a meeting of such a kind. And as you said, he has dismissed Taban. It's not only Taban. He dismissed me, he dismissed Alfred. He said the Politburo was dysfunctional. So this new attitude is strange, but if he wants it, let him release the SPLM political leaders who are still under detention, and particularly the Secretary General of the party, Pagana Mum.
That's former South Sudan's vice president and leader of the rebel SPLM in opposition, Riek Machar, speaking to me via a satellite phone from an undisclosed location in South Sudan on Friday. The UN mission in South Sudan reports that heavy rainstorm in the capital Juba Friday damaged tents, temporarily affecting nearly 8,000 internally displaced persons in the protection area at the Tomping compound. The mission says the tents have since been repaired and there are no reports of civilians being injured. It is also in the process of moving some of the affected displaced people from Tomping to the UN house over the next few days. Also over the weekend, a mission patrol in Malakal in Upper Nile State observed the presence of armed opposition forces surrounding the town. In another part of Upper Nile State, a mission delegation that visited Melut yesterday was informed by local officials that the town is overcrowded with displaced civilians, many of whom have arrived from other parts of Upper Nile and Jonglei State. Local officials say food shortages are causing tensions in the local communities. UNMISS has been criticized this week after security agents intercepted a weapon shipment in Lake State, a violation of its own rule. UNMISS says it was a mistake, that the weapons were intended for Ghanaian peacekeepers in the country, and that a joint mission comprised of government officials and UNMISS has traveled to Rumbek to meet with the New York delegation, which will fly to South Sudan later this week to take part in the investigation. World Food Programme officials warn South Sudan's crisis has destroyed plans the country had made in the past 5 years towards achieving food security. WFP and the Food and Agriculture Organization are trying to provide food for 2.5 million people across the country, especially those in three states hard hit by the fighting. As Charlton Doki reports for VOA from Juba, officials also hope to help some communities build their lives.
A recent joint report by FAO and WFP shows that prior to the outbreak of fighting, South Sudan had achieved the best level of food security in 5 years. But the recent fighting has dramatically reduced the food crops and livestock, making people dependent on aid agencies again. George Fomien is WFP's spokesman in South Sudan.
With lots of people displaced, hundreds of thousands of people displaced, it means that we're getting back into a situation where these people are in need of food assistance. And these people have, their livelihoods have been disrupted, which means if they had to go to their farms, if they had to maintain their livestock, this isn't possible anymore. And therefore, they now need food assistance, where maybe they could have been able to take care of themselves a little better.
UN and human rights agencies say both anti- and pro-government forces have looted homes and burned property, including food stocks. WFP says this has pushed millions of South Sudanese into hunger. The two agencies say the continuing violence has ruined the coming agricultural season. Farmers in South Sudan normally plant crops between March and early June. Fomien says people are not able to do that this year, which will affect the ability of farmers to feed themselves next year. And he says the insecurity has crippled trade and migration routes.
With the ongoing conflict, the trade routes where a lot of food is coming in from outside or even going through to other parts of South Sudan are now being disrupted. So it's difficult for trucks to move or for food to come in, for people to be able to access food.
Fomien says WFP will continue to work toward a long-term solution for food security in South Sudan by increasing farmers' access to seeds, supporting fishing activities, and increasing access to micro-irrigation equipment in areas less affected by the current fighting.
WFP buys from smallholder farmers and trains them on how to store and how to take agriculture as a business. We are also continuing with our food for assets activities. In the food for assets activities, it's there we provide food assistance in for communities. In exchange, the communities carry out activities where they can be able to build their own resilience and their livelihoods.
Jonglei, Upper Nile and Unity are the hardest hit states. The three states were also the most food insecure prior to the crisis. The UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs says up to 3.7 million South Sudanese are at risk of food insecurity and warns that that number could rise if the conflict continues. For VOA News, I am Charlton Doki in Juba.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
To protect yourself and your family from sickness and disease, it's important to be careful about water. Bottled water is safe to drink and cook with. But if you can't buy it, be sure to purify your water by boiling it or treating it with an approved water sanitation kit. To destroy microorganisms that cause disease or even kill, you need to boil water for at least 5 minutes. Then wait to allow any sediment to settle and let the water cool down before drinking. To help protect you, your children, and your family from sickness, make sure all your water is safe to drink.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Sudan blames rebels for violence in Darfur. That story is coming up.
We want to hear from you. Now you can send text messages from your mobile phone to South Sudan in Focus. In South Sudan, the number is 095-558-4407. If you are outside South Sudan, use the international code and then 211-955-584-407. Let us hear from you. We read your comments on Fridays.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today
Do you think the Western media report fairly on your country?
I think they report what sells and what makes sense to them and what would make us meet their... I think they have social desires, and if it will meet their desire, then they'll report it that way, in that particular light, without actually looking at it in terms of this is the truth and this is what it is.
Yeah, Western media reports fairly in my country, because in most cases, things that are happening, they don't hide like these government medias. They just report exactly whatever is taking place.
Western media, they neglect economic, social affairs, and they depend on political situations of African countries.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. Welcome to our Tuesday health segment. Today we are talking about nutrition. New research in India has demonstrated that children receive better nutrition when their mothers are empowered, educated, and mobile. As VOA's Jessica Bowman reports, researchers found that participation in vocational training program empower women at home and increase their children's consumption of healthy food.
A vocational program in southern India called Mohila Shamulka brings groups of women together to form local support networks. A study by researchers at the University of Illinois looked at its impact on the women's roles and empowerment inside the home. Economist Kathy Bayless of the school's College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences led the study. Before joining the peer groups, Bayless says, the women knew fewer than five other women outside the family. Many assumed they had little say in the management of household resources, according to Bayless, as reflected in their comments.
Before I was in the peer group, I didn't know I could stand up to my husband. I didn't know I could work outside the home or work outside the farm. You know, I didn't know women were doctors and lawyers, et cetera, et cetera.
Experts say 40% of Indian children under age 5 suffer from malnutrition. But Bayless says participation in the peer groups designed to teach women work skills led them to provide better nutrition for their children. Researchers confirmed that youngsters started eating better by visiting the participants' homes with different size bowls.
And instead of trying to get people to recall exact number of cups or et cetera that they were feeding their kids, we went and asked, you know, how many of these size bowls did your different kids get fed of rice and of dal and of various dairy products? And we also asked about eggs, you know, yesterday.
Girls in particular started consuming more food. Bayless says the women also began confronting husbands who were known to physically abuse their wives, threatening to expose them unless they stopped. The study is one of the first to show the positive impact of Mohila Shamulka on female empowerment since its founding by the Indian central government in 1995. Jessica Berman, VOA News, Washington.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here are some of today's news headlines with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, John. Malaysian police say one of two passengers who used stolen passports to board a missing Malaysian jetliner does not appear to have links to terrorism. Police Inspector General Khalid Tansri says the 19-year-old Iranian national, identified as Puria Noor Mohammad Merdad, was likely trying to migrate to Germany. Khalid said the young man's mother had been waiting for her son to arrive in Frankfurt and said she has since been in close contact with authorities. Ousted Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych blamed his opponents today for Crimea's moves to break away from Ukraine and said he remains the country's president and commander-in-chief. Mr. Yanukovych spoke from Rostov-on-Don, Russia, in his second public appearance since he fled Kiev last month following months of anti-government protests. Denouncing Ukraine's interim authorities as extremists, the ousted leader called the new government's planned May 25th elections illegitimate and illegal. And finally, the United Nations Children's Fund is calling attention to the effect that 3 years of conflict has had on Syria's young people, saying the crisis is the most damaging conflict for children in the region's recent history. In today's report, UNICEF says 5.5 million Syrian children now need assistance because of the war, a number that's more than doubled in the past year. And that's a look at today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
Sudan's information minister, Ahmed Bilal, accuses the U.S. of hurting rather than helping the Sudanese people by keeping its sanction in place against Khartoum. He is reacting to a U.S. call on Sudan to stop the violence in Darfur. State Department spokeswoman Jane Psaki recently condemned what she calls Sudan's campaign of aerial bombardments. Bilal tells VOA's James Batty, anti-government rebels are responsible for the renewed violence.
On the contrary, actually, if I hear that the United States is calling the rebels to stop attacking the innocent citizens, because in the last few days, many attacks have been happened by the rebels on the innocent citizens. It's not the government. It is the rebels who now they are robbing and killing and actually making some sort of actually revenge and retaliation. It is not the government at all.
I think the State Department is saying that your government supports the rebels. So it assumes that you are encouraging the violence.
How could we support the rebels? When we fight the rebels and we do some actually sort of attack against them, then everybody talk about human rights and the genocide and killing. When the rebels do the contrary and they kill the people, they say the governments are supporting them or making this for them possible. It is not at all. This is illogical. We are actually now in the whole Sudan, we are calling for peace. We are calling for national dialogue and debate. How to make a roadmap to solve our problems. How to reach a consensus by which we can transfer the power peacefully to others and to do an fair and transparent elections. This is now the talk in Sudan, which we need support from the international, society about this, not the contrary.
Mr. Minister, the United States is accusing your government of carrying out air attacks, bombings in Darfur. Would you be willing to let UN peacekeepers to investigate the incidents?
The UN, they are there in Darfur, and they can investigate this, but we will not accept the expect from the American government to say otherwise. Every time that we are doing something, they are telling the contrary. In this, conducive environment of the dialogue and the debate, and they are actually making the sanctions and they are making it more tight against the people of Sudan and not the government for the transference and the remittance of any sort of money out Sudan or outside of Sudan. This is what the government of the American government is doing. The American government is harming our people more than anybody else. It's not our government.
That's Sudan's information minister, Ahmed Bilal, speaking to VOA reporter James Batty. That's our show for this Tuesday. We leave you with the song Oh Yeah by Dynamic, a Sudanese-based musician.
It's getting late, but we don't care. You can feel the good vibes.
I have to make some corrections here. We have been listening to Dynamic, a US-based South Sudanese musician with that song, Oh Yeah. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening and join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Oh, yeah.